The stage is set. Everything is ready. Joshua, called by God, empowered by God, surrounded by the promises of God, is ready to lead the people of Israel onwards to their promised homeland. He is assured of victory, provided he trusts God and allows God to work. He has brought together his army commanders. He has alerted the people. He has got some intelligence about the heavily fortified city of Jericho. Everything is, as we would say, good to go. But first, the Rubicon was a river that had to be crossed. There is a barrier standing in the way. The River Jordan stands in the way. And now, after 40 years wandering in the wilderness, Israel stands ready to cross. At most times of the year, there would be no problem in crossing the Jordan. But Joshua was crossing when this river was in full flood. And the people stood there, looking at this, with fear. What to do? The promise seemed so near, and yet so far away. Joshua speaks. The leader speaks. Leaders make a difference. What was the most remarkable thing that happened during COVID? The voice of our Queen, the leader, acting as a leader. Joshua speaks. He reminds them of God's promises. Joshua 3 and verse 5. Tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. But before that can happen, he tells the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. You see, God had things in hand. Something amazing was about to happen. They didn't know what it was. But firstly, the people had to get their focus on God. And that's where it had to start. Now, folks, in the midst of uncertainty, and I say this from my heart, bring the focus onto God. Bring the focus onto God. Move it away from the uncertainties. Do that. Bring the focus back to God. Focus on Him. That is where it had to start. And that is where any great work of God begins, with the people keeping that focus on the Lord and His amazing works. God would make a way when something seemed impossible. I don't know the words of it, but I'm sure your music group here and your leaders know that song called Waymaker, I think it is. It simply says, God will make a way. God will make a way when something seems impossible and we feel discouraged. And you know, sometimes we need those wilderness years in our lives to learn about God and draw near to Him. Keep the focus on Him. But there was a whole lot more at stake here than just crossing a river. There's the glory of God and the standing of Joshua. Verse 10, Joshua tells the people, this is how you will know that the living God is among you. And they were about to see something that will convince them that the living God is with them. They weren't been told what it was. Because you see, God doesn't reveal the whole picture to us at one time, a wee bit at a time. In other words, what does Joshua do? He starts by giving God the glory for the amazing things that are going to happen. The glory of God. But also the standing of Joshua. Verse 10, Joshua tells the people, Moses had led Israel out of slavery in Egypt, guided them through their 40 years wandering in the wilderness, received the Ten Commandments, brought them to the very edge of the promised land. But Moses had died. Maybe if this was a church, you know, sometimes we dwell on the past, do we not? And the folk could have stood there and thought, well, you know, if Moses was here. But Moses wasn't. They had to deal with the here and the now. And that's hard. And you and I, at times, we have to deal with the here and now in our lives. The reality of life is the here and the now, the today. We have to deal with bereavements today. We can't be thinking about the past. It's over. And I can still, about a year after my late father died, telling my mother, and it was hard to do, I said, Mummy, if we could go back to the past, we would, but we can't. We just can't. Moses had died. Step forward, Joshua, the new leader. But new leaders need to be established. They need to earn the right to lead. God steps in on Joshua's behalf, and in verse 7, God tells him this, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as with Moses." The fact that the Presbytery of Coleraine and Limavady lays its hands on your head does not make you an elder. You earn the right. The fact that I had to earn the right. Joshua had to earn the right, and God began to lift him up. He had received his authority from God before this miracle would take place, but this would give him stature before the people. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary on Joshua, puts it this way: it takes both authority and stature to exercise effective leadership. God is glorified. Joshua is established before the people. And then a miracle takes place. Time to go. Time to no longer stand trembling on the banks of the fast-flowing River Jordan and get in. And here the Ark of the Covenant makes one of its rare appearances. Israel carried it into battle sometimes, but normally it sat at the center of the sanctuary or in the temple. It was a powerful symbol of the power and the presence of God, and it had to be treated with honor and respect, and the people were told, well, look, you keep well back. It was a powerful symbol. But let's remember this, it was only a symbol. Symbolism can help us. But symbols should never take the place of the true and the living God. At this time, Israel needed this symbol. They needed this. But the symbol, it wasn't something to be worshipped. It was just a symbol. And then the people are told to follow the priests. They were told that as soon as the priests carrying the ark stepped into the Jordan, verse 13, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. And so it happened. But what a step of faith for the men carrying the ark. You think about it. What a step of faith for the men carrying the ark. Could they be sure? Could they be sure that they wouldn't just be swept away? And then they were told to stop in the middle while everybody else crossed on the dry riverbed. That must have been hard. Can I take you to another Bible story? Elijah, on the top of Mount Horeb, he faced all of the prophets of Baal. And he said, right, let's build two altars here. And he said, well, whichever is the true God will answer from heaven with fire to the altar. And the prophets of Baal got busy praying and calling on their God. Then Elijah steps forward. What does God ask him to do? God said to him, rebuild the altar. Get the wood on it. Get the offering. And then God says, right, I want you to get buckets of water. I want you to get barrels of water. I want you to soak the altar. Odd thing to do if God was going to send down fire from heaven. Now, Elijah offers what I think is one of the most powerful prayers in all of the scriptures. He calls upon the name of the God of Israel and Jacob, Isaac. And what happens? Now, poor old Elijah, you know, this water, altar soaked with water. Well, I mean, like, how is this going to burn? But God sent down the fire from heaven and consumed the altar. And God demonstrated that he was the true and the living God. And that was faith. Elijah had their faith. Now, how do these events that took place thousands of years ago have any relevance for us today? Well, you see, there comes a time when we will have to cross some kind of River Jordan or other. And it may be hard. But we have to put our feet into the water. Some event in life which stands before us, some decision we need to take, some issue we need to face up to. And we stand at the edge of our own personal River Jordan. The water is deep, it's fast flowing. Can we face it? Can we move on? And what you find here is a call to faith. And this, can I say this to you folks very gently? It's a call to you to walk by faith at this critical, crucial time. The people of Israel had to step forward with faith if they were to see God at work. They had to be together. They had to be united. And here is what we too must do in our daily lives. God is ready. God is willing. God is able. We want everything for ourselves sometimes. But God is willing. And he's able. And he's ready. But we must begin by trusting him today for all of the events of our lives as yet unknown to you and to me. And we need sometimes just to take a bold step of faith. The people of Israel stood there trembling on the edge of the Jordan. But they had to take a bold step of faith. And when they did that, they saw God work in a powerful way. They crossed the river. They entered the promised land. And that's what the Christian life is really all about. It's about faith, it's about trust. It's about allowing God to lead and to guide and to bless. It's about setting aside how we think and what we think and just leaving it completely in His hands, whatever it is, whatever experience. I look sometimes at my family and things that have happened and so on, and I say to myself, when those ones were little, I never thought. As a parent this morning, what do? You commit them to God. You do that. I find sometimes, you know, parents, they think, you know, well, this Christian faith thing, we don't really need it. Well, sorry. Your kids need committed to God in faith. And I urge everyone here as a parent to take maybe a moment and just, even before you leave the church, and just put those children right into God's hands. The Christian life is all about faith and trust, letting God lead, letting God guide, letting God bless. And everything, our experience of God, our service of God, our walking with God, begins with that single step, a step of faith. Can we pray together just for a moment? Our gracious God, we come into your presence. And Father, we consider faith. We think about the bold steps of faith we must take even today in trusting you and letting you lead and letting you guide when we face those rivers of the Rubicon, the Jordan in our lives and fill us with fear and uncertainty. But we just thank you that you are ready, able, and willing to bless and to lead us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.